death!
Those three words tore out of Kira's throat as she spent her last coins on a stranger who couldn't even stand. She thought she was saving him. She had no idea he was the most dangerous alpha alive, or that the first words out of his ruined throat would be a warning.
You shouldn't have done that.
By nightfall, every soldier in the kingdom would be hunting them both. The guard's whip was already in motion. It caught the chained man across his back with a sound like thunder, and Kira watched him go down, knees hitting the auction platform hard enough that she heard the impact from 20 feet away. He didn't scream, didn't make a sound, just took the blow with his teeth gritted behind the gag. The guard raised the whip again. I'll buy him! Kira was running now, shoving past merchants who turned to stare at her like she'd lost her mind. Maybe she had. She'd come to the market to purchase supplies for her workshop, leather, tools, practical things that kept a woman alive. She had not come here to bankrupt herself over a stranger. But gods, the way he'd looked at her. When they'd first dragged him onto the platform, his eyes had swept the crowd with such barely contained fury that grown men had stepped back. Then his gaze had landed on her, and something had shifted in those storm-gray depths. Not a plea, not submission, but recognition. Sharp and sudden, like he'd been searching for her and finally, impossibly, found her. She didn't know this man, had never seen him before in her life. But she knew what it looked like when someone had given up hope. She'd seen it in the mirror, back when she was the one in chains. 100 gold, she gasped, finally reaching the platform's edge. Her hands were shaking so badly she could barely unlace her purse. The auctioneer stared at her like she'd sprouted a second head. Miss Kira? You can't be serious. This one's dangerous. 200. A man in expensive leathers stepped up beside her, competing for the bid. Lord Vaskor. She recognized him from the taverns. From the night she'd watched him slap a stable boy for dropping a single coin, and I'll take those suppression chains too. Been looking for something that could hold an alpha this strong. Panic clawed up Kira's throat. 300, her voice came out wild, desperate. She had truly lost her mind. The chained man lifted his head. Blood ran down his temple from where they'd hit him, but his eyes were locked on hers with an intensity that stole the air from her lungs. And behind the gag, she could have sworn she saw his lips form a single word. Why? The auctioneer's gavel came down with a crack that seemed to echo through Kira's bones. Sold to the young woman for 300 gold. Vaskor's face went from cruel to furious in the space of a heartbeat. He stepped closer to Kira, close enough that she could smell expensive wine on his breath. You have no idea what you've just invited into your life. Then he turned on his heel and strode away, his men following like shadows. Kira's hands wouldn't stop shaking as she counted out the coins. 300 gold pieces, 5 years of her life, measured in metal. They unlocked the chain holding the prisoner to the post, but left the rest. The suppression cuffs on his wrists, the iron collar, the shackles connecting his ankles. He swayed when they released him, and would have fallen if Kira hadn't moved fast, wedging herself under his arm. Gods, he was heavy. She half dragged, half carried him down the platform steps. People moved out of their way, whether from pity or disgust. She didn't know and didn't care. Can you walk? She asked quietly. His head turned slightly toward her, and she felt him try to take more of his own weight. It lasted maybe 3 steps before his legs nearly gave out again. That's what I thought. She adjusted her grip, angling them toward where she'd left her small cart at the edge of the square. Just don't die before we get there. I didn't spend everything I own just to bury you. He made a sound that might have been a laugh if he'd had the breath for it. Then so quietly she almost missed it. You shouldn't have done that. The words were ruined by his damaged throat. Raw and rasping. By the time she got him to the cart, he was unconscious, a dead weight she had to lever with strength she didn't know she possessed. Her tiny rented room above the tannery had walls thin as parchment, and a landlady who'd throw her out for bringing back a stray cat, let alone a bleeding man in suppression chains. So instead, She drove the cart to the edge of town, to the stone outbuilding where she kept her workshop. It had been a grain storage once, before the mill burned down. Now it was hers. Thick walls, one entrance, and private enough that her neighbors were trees and rabbits. The ride felt endless. With every jolt of the cart, the weight of 300 gold pressed heavier on her chest. He could be a murderer, a traitor, and she had dragged him straight into her only safe place in the world. By the time she got him inside, the sun was setting, painting the sky in shades of red and amber. Kira lit the oil lamps with trembling hands, shadows leaping wildly across the walls as if they too feared what she had brought home. She turned to assess what she'd bought. He was sprawled on the floor, still unconscious. In the lamplight, she could see details the auction block had hidden. The clothes he wore had once been fine by the way the fabric was cut, the gold thread still clinging to the collar despite the tears and bloodstains. His hair was long, dark, and matted with sweat, but it framed a face that would have been striking if it wasn't currently gray with blood loss. And the scars. She could see them now that his shirt had torn further, old marks layered over older ones, the kind that came from blades and claws, not accidents. What kind of man earned scars like that? The question coiled cold in her gut. The chains were the worst part. The suppression cuffs glowed with a sickly green light, and she could see now how deeply they'd cut into his wrists. She needed to get them off, needed to clean the wounds before infection killed him and made her gold the world's most expensive corpse. Kira grabbed her heavy shears, the ones she used for cutting through thick hide. It took 20 minutes of sweating, swearing work. But finally, the first cuff came free. Power slammed into the room like a thunderclap, making the oil lamps flicker. The man's eyes flew open, storm gray and wild, and then he was moving, faster than anything that injured should be able to move. Kira barely had time to gasp before she was slammed against the stone wall, his massive body a wall of heat and barely controlled violence between her and the door. "Who are you?" His voice was still ruined, but the words came out clear enough. "Who sent you?" Her heart was trying to beat its way out of her chest, but she forced herself to meet his eyes, to not struggle. "Nobody sent me," she forced out. "Lies." His grip tightened, breath hot against her cheek. "Nobody spends 300 gold on a stranger." "I did," she rasped, heart thundering. "And if you strangle me before I can fix those wounds, you'll bleed out and waste my investment." Something shifted in his eyes, confusion cracking through the feral panic. His gaze dropped to the severed cuff on the floor, then back to her face. Slowly, the crushing pressure on her throat eased. "You removed them?" he said, voice hoarse. "Was I not supposed to? Because the infected wounds seemed like a priority." His legs gave out. Kira caught him on instinct, staggering under his weight as he collapsed forward. She managed to guide them both down to the floor, ending up with his head in her lap, his breathing ragged and painful. She worked quickly, cleaning the wounds on his back where the whip had laid him open, the infected mess around his wrists where the chains had eaten into flesh. He stayed conscious this time, jaw locked against the pain, watching her with those unsettling gray eyes. "Why?" he asked again, quieter now. Kira kept her attention on threading the needle. "Why what? Why buy me? Why bring me here? Why help?" She was quiet for a moment, making the first stitch. He didn't flinch. "I was 16 when my father's debts caught up with us," she said finally. "Spent 2 years in chains." His eyes sharpened. "You escaped?" "I got out. Built a life. Learned a trade." She tied off one stitch, started another. "And I swore that if I ever had the chance, if I ever saw someone else in chains looking like they'd given up hope," she met his gaze, "I'd do something about it. Even if it bankrupts you. Money grows back. Chances don't." He was silent after that, simply watching her with a new intensity. When she finally sat back, having finished the last stitch, He pushed himself up with visible effort, wincing. "You have my deepest gratitude," he said, voice still rough but warmer now, carrying the faint echo of a man who once knew how to charm. The corner of his mouth curved. "And more than that, I will repay you double what you spent. Whatever trouble I bring you, I will make it right." Kira met his gaze, hyper aware of the heat still radiating from his body, the way his eyes lingered on her face. A noise from outside made them both freeze. Footsteps coming closer. The man tensed, already trying to push himself up, and Kira put a hand on his shoulder. The door burst open. A scrawny boy stood in the doorway, all sharp elbows and oversized tunic, a half-eaten apple still in his hand. He took in the scene with one sweeping glance. "So," the boy said, with complete sincerity, "this is a normal amount of groceries for you?" Despite the fear still lingering in her chest, Kira felt a helpless laugh escape. "Kai, this is not what it looks like. It looks like you bought a whole entire person." Kai stepped inside, closing the door behind him. His sharp eyes flicked to the stranger, narrowing with suspicion. He moved closer to Kira. "You okay? Did he hurt you?"
"I'm fine," Kira said quickly. "He's not what I expected."
Kai didn't relax.
"Well, neither is a rabid wolf, but we still don't bring them home." He eyed the stranger warily, voice dropping. "I'm her protector, by the way. So if you try anything, I'll invent something that makes you regret it."
The stranger's gaze softened a fraction, the corner of his mouth twitching.
"Noted, little protector."
Kai's ears went bright red. "I'm not little. I'm compact, like a very sharp knife." The boy hovered protectively near Kira, still eyeing the man with open suspicion.
"You're healing too fast. Those wounds should have you down for hours."
He turned back to Kira, voice dropping.
"So, are we keeping him? Because I'm not giving up my cot."
"You don't have a cot," Kira pointed out. "You have a pile of blankets in the corner. It's a very nice pile." The stranger was looking between them now, some of the tension bleeding out of his shoulders.
"You two, your family?"
"Unofficial," Kira explained. "I found him sleeping in my doorway. Couldn't get rid of him after that."
"I was strategically resting," Kai corrected.
"Anyway, I came to tell you there's talk in the market. Lord Vaskor is angry about losing the bid."
Kira's stomach dropped.
"How angry?"
"Burn the workshop down if you don't hand him over bad," Kai said grimly.
He glanced back at the stranger. "Whoever you are, you've got powerful enemies, and now they know Kira has you."
The stranger pushed himself up, swaying only slightly. The color was already coming back to his face, the wounds on his back healing fast.
"Then you need to let me go. I'll find a way to repay you. But staying here will only get you killed."
Kira hesitated, the strange pull in her chest warring with cold logic.
"You won't survive out there alone, not like this."
The man opened his mouth to argue, but Kai suddenly froze at the window, peeking through a crack in the shutters.
Guys? His voice was tight with fear.
4 angry men just stepped out of the trees,
and they do not look like they're here to borrow sugar.
The stranger moved to the door, positioning himself between it and Kira, with an ease that spoke of training, of instinct. Despite his injuries, power rolled off him in waves.
"You need to hide," he said quietly. "Both of you."
"This is my workshop," Kira replied, already grabbing the knife she kept near her tools. "I'm not hiding." The door crashed open. 4 mercenaries poured into the room, hardened killers with scarred faces and cold eyes, weapons already drawn. They moved like wolves scenting blood, spreading out to cut off every exit. The leader, a hulking brute with a face like carved leather, ignored Kira and Kai completely. His gaze locked onto Tristan with dark satisfaction.
"Lord Vaskor sends his regards," he growled.
He's very eager to continue your conversation, the one about who you really are and why you were wearing those pretty chains. He doesn't like loose ends. The stranger's voice was winter steel. Tell Vaskor I'm not interested. Wasn't really a request. The mercenary gestured, and his men moved forward. Chaos erupted. The stranger caught the first man's sword arm, twisted, and Kira heard bones snap. Then he used the man's falling body as a shield against the second attacker's blade. He spun, driving an elbow into the third man's throat, dropping him choking to the floor. The leader lunged straight for Kira. She slashed wildly, her knife catching his forearm and drawing a hot line of blood. The mercenary snarled, stumbling back. Kai darted in like a shadow, swinging a heavy wrench at the man's knee. The stranger was there in an instant, shoving Kira and Kai behind him. His hand closed around the leader's throat like a vice, lifting the much larger man off his feet. "You came into her home," he said, voice laced with barely restrained fury. The mercenary's eyes bulged with sudden dawning horror. "Gods, you're..." The stranger's grip tightened mercilessly. "Tell Vaskor he should have bought someone else." He dropped the mercenary, who scrambled backward, grabbing his groaning men. They fled into the night, leaving a trail of blood and the heavy stench of fear behind them. Silence fell. Kira was already moving, pulling Kai close. The boy's small frame trembled as he pressed against her side, both of them instinctively checking each other for injuries. Then Kai's foot nudged something on the floor, a crumpled piece of parchment the fleeing mercenaries had dropped in their haste. Kira picked it up. It was a sketch, crude but unmistakable. The man standing before her, captured in harsh lines. Beneath it, bold ink read, "Dangerous fugitive. Approach with extreme caution. Report any sighting immediately to the Chancellor's office, not the local magistrate. The Chancellor." Kira's breath caught. She looked up slowly, heart hammering. "Who are you, really?" she demanded, voice quiet but edged with steel. The stranger met her gaze. For a beat, the only sound was the distant drip of blood and Kai's uneven breathing. Then grim resignation settled over his face. "My name is Tristan," he said. "And until a year ago, I was the Alpha King's brother." Kai went very still, eyes wide as coins. Kira's hand tightened on the crumpled wanted notice, her pulse roaring in her ears as the implications washed over her. "The Alpha King's brother," she repeated slowly. "The one they said murdered his brother and sister-in-law?" "Yes." Tristan's voice was flat, stripped of emotion. "That's the story Chancellor Amryn told. And because he had a blood mage bind me with an exile curse before I could defend myself, no one heard anything different." Kai found his voice first, stepping closer to Kira until his small shoulder brushed hers. "An exile curse? What does that even mean?" "It means if I cross into the capital territory, the magic kills me, rips my wolf apart from the inside, and takes me with it." Tristan moved to the window, checking the darkness beyond. His movements were already smoother, stronger. The alpha healing that had been suppressed for months, finally free to work. "I spent a year in the outer territories. They caught me during a supply run a month ago." Kira's throat was tight. "The suppression chains. Amryn kept me in a cell under the palace. Said he'd keep me there until I confessed or died." Tristan turned back to them, lamplight carving deep shadows across his face. "But the chains weakened the curse. When you removed them, you may have broken the last threads." Kai shook his head as he stayed glued close to Kira's side. "We need to run. Those mercenaries saw you. If they report back..." "They won't report to the crown," Tristan said with grim certainty. "Vaskor wants me for himself." "Is that supposed to be comforting?" Kira asked. "No, but it means we have until morning." "Maybe." He met her eyes. "I know a place.
3 days' ride north, an old hunting lodge my brother and I used as kids. It's remote, defensible, and no one's been there in years.
3 days' ride? Kai's voice cracked. On what?
Your good looks? We don't have horses, supplies, or...
I know where we can get them.
Tristan was already moving. There's a stable on the east edge of town. The owner used to serve in the Royal Guard before he retired. If I can get to him, explain...
That won't work.
Kira grabbed his arm and felt the coiled strength beneath.
You can't just walk into town. They're looking for you.
Then what do you suggest?
She thought fast, mind racing through options.
Kai goes. No one questions him at the stables.
I'm not leaving you alone with...
Kai started. I'll be all right.
She cut him off with a look.
Get 3 horses, supplies for a week, and whatever coin you can scrape together. We'll meet you at the old mill ruins in 2 hours.
Kai looked between them, clearly torn.
Finally, he jabbed a finger at Tristan.
If she has even a scratch when I get back, I don't care how royal you used to be. I will end you. And don't call me her little protector. I'm her family.
Tristan's expression softened.
Understood.
Kai gave Kira one last worried glance, then slipped out the door like a shadow, vanishing into the night. The moment he was gone, Kira busied herself gathering her tools, the good knives, leather working supplies, anything that might prove useful. She tried not to think about the fact that she was abandoning the only safe place she'd built.
You're doing it again, Tristan said quietly.
She didn't look up.
Doing what?
Sacrificing everything to save someone who doesn't deserve it. His voice roughened with regret.
I'm sorry, Kira,
for dragging you into this, for the danger I've brought to your door. If I could undo the moment you spoke for me at that auction, I would. But since I can't, let me at least get you somewhere safe, somewhere far from me, if that's what you want.
Kira stilled, then turned to face him.
Did you set the fire?
Tristan met her eyes without flinching.
No.
Amryn did.
He killed Myron, framed me, and used blood magic to silence me so I could never challenge him.
She searched his face. The raw grief there was real.
Tristan stepped closer, voice low and protective.
You've already given more than anyone should. Let me handle the rest. I'll draw them away from you and Kai. You don't have to keep paying for my mistakes.
Before Kira could respond, the sound of distant barks broke the silence. They both tensed.
We should go.
Kai will be waiting. The old mill ruins sat at the edge of town like a skeleton, all broken timber and crumbling stone. Kira and Tristan waited in the shadow of what had once been the water wheel, listening to the forest sounds and the distant bark of dogs. They heard Kai before they saw him, the thunder of hooves, the jingle of tack. He burst from the tree line, riding one horse and leading 2 others, his face flushed with fear.
We have a problem, he gasped, sliding from the saddle.
Vaskor went to the magistrate.
Claimed you stole his property. There's a warrant out for your arrest, Kira, and soldiers are searching every building in town.
Kira's blood went cold.
How long?
They hit your room at the tannery first. When they didn't find you there, they started a grid search.
Maybe an hour before they reach the workshop, see the blood, and realize
that she helped me escape. Tristan was already moving toward the horses.
We need to go.
They mounted quickly. As they urged the horses into the forest, Kira looked back once at the town lights.
Everything she'd built, everything she'd worked for, gone in the space of a single impulsive decision.
Hey! Tristan's voice cut through her spiraling thoughts. He'd maneuvered his horse close to hers, near enough that their knees almost touched.
What's your favorite thing to eat?
Kira blinked, caught off guard. A faint, crooked smile touched his lips.
I'm an excellent hunter. What are you craving?
Wild berries, she admitted quietly, as her stomach growled.
Kai loves them too. Tristan's gaze lingered on her. I'll find the sweetest ones in the forest. They rode through the night, putting distance between themselves and the search parties. By dawn, they'd left the main roads entirely, following deer trails and stream beds that Tristan navigated with the ease of someone who'd spent months living in the wild. Kai dozed in his saddle. When they finally stopped to rest the horses, the sun was well up and they were deep in forest that Kira didn't recognize. Tristan dismounted first, then lifted a snoring Kai from his saddle. I'm lucky he's so light, he murmured, voice low and warm. Kira's heart gave a strange little flip at the sight. He was orphaned young, she said softly as Tristan laid Kai on a bed of cloaks. Runt of his litter. The pack cast him out. He doesn't like talking about it. Tristan nodded, understanding flickering in his eyes. He brushed a stray lock of hair from Kai's forehead with surprising gentleness before straightening. I'll hunt. Wild berries and honey for you. Yes? She nodded, watching as he slipped into the trees, graceful, powerful, completely in his element. This was the man he'd been before the chains. He returned sooner than she expected, two fat rabbits in one hand and a small cloth bundle in the other. His gaze found hers immediately across the clearing. See something interesting? Kira felt her cheeks heat. Just noticing you don't move like someone who's been chained for months. Tristan's lips curved into a slow half-smile. Is that your professional opinion? As the woman who bought me? As the woman who's going to get you killed if you don't stop smirking and help me with this fire? They worked side by side in surprisingly easy silence. Tristan prepared the rabbits while Kira coaxed the fire to life. The domestic rhythm, the crackle of flames, the scent of roasting meat, his shoulder occasionally brushing hers, felt dangerously intimate. Did you think kings didn't cook? He asked, catching her watching him as he turned to spit. I didn't think about kings much at all before this week. His eyes met hers over the fire. And now? She handed him a portion of meat, their fingers lingering. Now I think they're a great deal of trouble. Tristan noticed then, the old scars circling her wrists, pale but unmistakable in the firelight. His expression darkened. He caught her hand gently, thumb tracing the marks. Who did this to you? Tell me their names. Kira swallowed, throat tight. Ancient history. They're gone. He didn't release her hand. Instead, he turned it over. Kira flinched instinctively, tucking her hand against her chest. The scars felt suddenly too conspicuous, ugly reminders of a past she'd tried to bury. They're shameful, she said quietly, not meeting his eyes. Tristan's fingers caught her wrist again, drawing her hand back into the firelight. No, they're proof of how strong you are. He turned his own wrist alongside hers, matching scar to scar. We match, he said softly. Scars and all. Heat flooded her cheeks. Before she could respond, he released her hand and reached for the cloth bundle he'd brought back from his hunt. Inside were wild berries and a small honeycomb still glistening. He carefully divided the berries, drizzling honey over them. This one's for Kai when he wakes up. He'll love that, she said softly. Just then, the sound of hoofbeats in the distance made them both freeze. Tristan was on his feet instantly, moving to wake Kai. But the boy was already sitting up, eyes sharp. Riders, he whispered, ears twitching towards the sound. At least three. They doused the fire and melted into the shadows. The riders passed within 50 yards of their camp, soldiers in royal livery, their voices carrying through the trees. Search every inn between here and the northern border chancellor's orders. The engagement announcement goes out at dawn. Can't have a dead king's brother showing up to ruin the wedding. The voices faded. Kira's heart was hammering so hard she thought it might crack her ribs. Engagement, Kai breathed once they were safely past. What engagement? Tristan's face had gone carefully blank.
Amren's not wasting time. He's moving to consolidate power.
Who would he marry? Kira asked, though dread was already pooling in her stomach.
Not him.
The Puppet King. Tristan began pacing. If Myron's son survived, if Ren is alive, Amren would need to control him completely. And the best way to do that?
Marry him to family, Kira finished, understanding dawning.
Keep the power and the bloodline. Tristan's hands clenched into fists. He killed my brother, framed me. And now he's cementing control through marriage.
Kira stood, moving to him.
Then we need proof.
Proof of what?
A fire that happened a year ago? A curse that's invisible unless it kills me? Even if I could cross into the capital, even if the binding didn't tear me apart, who would believe me over the sitting chancellor?
Someone would, she insisted.
If we had evidence, documents, witnesses, something.
I know where the evidence is.
Tristan turned to face her, and she saw the fury in his eyes.
But it's the last place they'd expect me to go.
Where?
The palace.
Kai made a strangled sound.
What about the exile curse?
It's weakened, but I won't know for certain until I try to cross into the capital. Tristan stopped.
But if I don't try, if I let Amren succeed, then Myron's death meant nothing.
Ren will be trapped. The kingdom will be ruled by a murderer.
His eyes found hers. I have to try.
Then we'll all try, Kai said fiercely, moving to stand beside Kira. Besides, I fight better on a full stomach.
Those berries you saved for me? They're basically battle fuel. I'll be unstoppable.
They pushed deeper into the forest as the sun climbed higher, following trails that Tristan navigated from memory. By afternoon, they'd found the hunting lodge, a squat stone building half swallowed by vines, its roof mostly intact and thick walls promising shelter.
It's smaller than I remembered, Tristan said as they dismounted, but it's defensible.
They spent the afternoon securing the lodge, gathering firewood, taking inventory of supplies. As evening fell, Kai curled up in a nest of blankets near the fire, exhaustion finally claiming him. Tristan and Kira kept watch by the door, close enough that their shoulders brushed. The night sounds of the forest surrounded them. Crickets, wind through leaves, the distant call of an owl.
You don't have to come with me, Tristan said finally, voice low,
to the palace. If the curse is still active, if crossing that border kills me, then you'll need someone there to save you. Kira finished with a small smile. I spent 300 gold on you. I'm seeing this through to the end.
He turned to look at her, and in the dim firelight, his eyes were storm gray and intense.
Is that the only reason?
Kira held his gaze. Her heart was doing complicated things in her chest, and she was suddenly very aware of how close they were sitting, how his shoulder pressed against hers.
No, she said quietly.
That's not the only reason.
Tristan reached out slowly, giving her time to pull away, and tucked a strand of hair behind her ear. His fingers lingered against her cheek.
When this is over, he said, voice rough, if we survive, I'm going to kiss you properly.
Kira's breath caught. Her pulse was thundering in her ears, and she felt reckless, wild, alive in a way she hadn't felt in years.
Who says you have to wait?
For a heartbeat, neither of them moved. Then Tristan closed the distance between them. The kiss was slow at first, tentative, questioning. His hand cupped her jaw, thumb stroking her cheekbone, and Kira felt herself melt into him. Then something shifted. Her fingers tangled in his hair, and he made a low sound in his throat that sent heat racing through her veins. This wasn't the careful gratitude of a rescued prisoner. This was hunger and hope and everything they hadn't said. Can you at least wait until I'm properly asleep? Kai piped up from his blankets, one eye cracked open. Some of us are trying to rest through the end of the world. They broke apart, both breathing hard. Kira could feel the heat flooding her cheeks, but she couldn't bring herself to regret it. Tristan's lips curved into a crooked smile. Go back to sleep, Kai. Kai grumbled, but he was already burrowing back into his blankets. Kira looked at Tristan, at this dangerous alpha, and felt her carefully constructed walls crumbling. She'd spent years building a life small enough that no one could take it from her, and in the space of a day, she'd thrown it all away. No regrets? Tristan asked softly, reading her expression. She leaned her head against his shoulder, feeling his arm come around her waist. Not one. Tell me about your brother, Kira said quietly. The real Myron. Tristan was quiet for a long moment. Then he began to speak, voice soft with memory. He told her about a boy who'd rather read than train, who'd once released all the hunting dogs because he thought they looked sad in their kennels. Kira listened, adding her own stories. Her father's merchant business, the smell of leather in his workshop, the way he used to sing while he worked. They traded pieces of their pasts like treasures, building something fragile and precious between them. When she finally dozed off against his shoulder, Tristan pressed a kiss to her temple. Sleep well, he whispered. We storm the palace tomorrow. They reached the capital's outer walls at dusk. Tristan had gone quiet the last mile, his jaw tight, one hand pressed against his chest. How bad is it? Kira asked quietly. Not lethal. His voice was strained. But the curse knows I'm here. They'd left the horses half a mile back. Now they crouched in the shadow of a crumbling watchtower, staring up at the palace that rose above the city like a crown of stone and glass. Even from here, Kira could see the lights blazing in every window, hear the distant strains of music. The engagement ball, Tristan said, disgust thick in his voice. Amryn's never been subtle. Kai was studying the palace walls. There. He pointed to a narrow gate set into the wall, half hidden by ivy. Servants' entrance. I used to sneak in through there when I worked the kitchens. He puffed his chest out. Bet you didn't know I had palace connections? Kira felt her lips twitch. You worked there for a week before they fired you for stealing pastries. I prefer to call it quality testing. Kai grinned, but it faded quickly. The guard rotation changes at the half hour. We'll have maybe 5 minutes when only one man is watching that gate, and he's usually half asleep. Can you get us past him? Tristan asked. Kai's expression turned sly. Please, I could get past him in my sleep. The real question is whether you can walk through a palace full of people who want you dead. Tristan touched his face. The beard he'd grown during his imprisonment, the way exhaustion had hollowed his cheeks. I don't look like I did a year ago. You look like a wanted fugitive, Kira corrected. She pulled a cap they'd stolen from a washing line that morning. Keep your head down. Don't make eye contact. And try not to look like you're in agony. They slipped through during the guard change exactly as Kai had predicted, the boy leading them through a maze of narrow corridors that stank of grease and sweat. Servants rushed past carrying trays of champagne and platters of delicacies, too hurried to notice three more bodies in rough clothing. Kira had stolen a maid's uniform, the fabric scratching against her skin. Every few steps, she saw Tristan wince, saw the way his breathing had gone shallow and pained. The curse was getting worse. The king's study is in the east wing, Kai whispered, pressing them back against the wall as a cluster of guards marched past. Third floor, overlooking the rose garden. But we'll have to go through the main hall to reach the servants' stairs. They emerged into a corridor that opened onto a balcony overlooking the ballroom, and Kira's breath caught. It was obscene. That was the only word for it. Crystal chandeliers dripped light onto nobles dressed in silk and jewels, their laughter echoing off marble floors. At the far end of the room, on a dais draped in crimson, sat a young man who could only be King Ren. He looked barely 18, his face still carrying the softness of boyhood. But his eyes, even from here, Kira could see they were haunted. Beside him stood a pretty girl in white, her hand resting possessively on his arm. And behind them both, like a spider at the center of his web, stood Chancellor Amrin. He was smaller than Kira had imagined. Narrow-shouldered, with iron-gray hair and the uncalloused hands of a man who had never once done his own killing. He leaned down to whisper something to Ren, and the young king flinched. Tristan made a sound low in his throat, somewhere between a growl and a gasp of pain. Kira grabbed his arm. "Not yet," she said quietly. "We need the proof first." They skirted the edge of the balcony, slipping through a doorway that led to the servant stairs. The sounds of the ball faded behind them, replaced by the creaking of old wood and Tristan's labored breathing. "How much farther?" he asked through gritted teeth. "One more floor." Kai was already ahead of them. "But there'll be guards at the study door. Two, at least, maybe four." Kira turned to him, heart tight. "The distraction. We need it now." Kai's grin was wicked, but it softened when he looked at her. He reached into his tunic and pulled out his favorite knife, the one with the worn bone handle he'd carried since the day she'd found him. It was his only real possession, his good luck charm through every hard night on the streets. He pressed it into her hand, closing her fingers around it. "Take it," he said quietly, "but bring it back, okay? We're family." Kira's throat closed. She pulled him into a quick, fierce hug, pressing a kiss to the top of his messy hair. "Be careful, Kai." "I'm always careful," he lied with a cheeky grin, but his eyes were bright with emotion. "Give me 10 minutes, then head for the study. You'll know when I'm ready." They waited in a shadowed alcove, pressed close together. Tristan's forehead was beaded with sweat, his jaw clenched tight. A sound made them both freeze. Footsteps coming closer. Heavy boots on stone, the clink of armor. Guards, and they were heading straight for their alcove. Tristan moved on instinct, pulling her into a storage closet barely big enough for one person, let alone two. The door clicked shut just as the guards rounded the corner, their voices loud in the narrow hallway. Kira's back was pressed against Tristan's chest, his arm banded across her waist. She could feel every breath he took, labored and painful, could feel the heat radiating from his body as the curse burned through him. His other hand came up to cover her mouth, not to silence her, but because they were so close that any sound would carry. The guard's footsteps paused right outside the closet door. Tristan's breath was hot against her ear, his body trembling with the effort of staying upright. She could feel his heart hammering against her spine, could feel the way his fingers tightened on her waist like she was the only thing keeping him from collapsing. "If we survive this," he whispered, "remind me to find another closet with you when people aren't trying to kill us." Despite the terror racing through her veins, Kira felt a wild, inappropriate urge to laugh. The guards finally moved on. Tristan's hand fell away from her mouth, but he didn't release her. For a moment, they just stood there, breathing hard, pressed together in the darkness. Then chaos erupted downstairs. The sound was unmistakable. Crashes, shouts, the high-pitched screech of nobles who just had champagne and caviar dumped on their silk gowns. "That's our cue," Tristan rasped. They burst from the closet and ran. The study was at the end of the hall, and the guards who should have been posted outside were gone, pulled away to deal with whatever catastrophe Kai had unleashed in the ballroom. The door was locked, but Tristan's shoulder made short work of it. They stumbled inside, and Kira immediately began rifling through drawers, searching for anything that looked like evidence. There, Tristan was at the desk, his hands shaking as he pulled out a leather folder. Documents spilled across the desk. Correspondence between Amran and a blood mage, detailing the exile curse down to the exact words of the binding. Letters discussing the fire, casual and cold. And beneath it all, a contract bearing Amran's seal and signature. Proof. Irrefutable, damning proof. "This is it," Kira breathed. "This is everything. The fire, the curse, the conspiracy." Tristan swayed, grabbing the desk to keep himself upright. Blood trickled from his nose, and when he wiped it away, his hand came back red. "We need to go." The door slammed open. 6 guards poured in, weapons drawn. Behind them, more soldiers filled the hallway, cutting off any escape. They were trapped. Kira grabbed Kai's knife and positioned herself beside Tristan. He was barely standing, one hand still clutching the documents, the other braced on the desk. But when the first guard lunged, he moved. Tristan caught the man's sword arm, twisted, and sent him crashing into his companions. Another guard came at Kira, and she ducked under his swing, driving her blade into his thigh. He went down screaming. But there were too many. For every guard they dropped, 2 more pushed through the door. And Tristan was weakening with every heartbeat, the curse pulling him down like weights tied to a drowning man. A guard's blade caught him across the ribs. Not deep, but enough to make him stagger. Kira screamed his name, trying to reach him, but rough hands grabbed her from behind, wrenching her knife away. Tristan was on one knee now, blood running from the wound in his side, more blood streaming from his nose and the corner of his mouth. The documents had scattered across the floor. The guards surrounded them, swords pointed at their throats. They'd lost. Then the door opened again, and everyone froze. The young king stood in the doorway. Up close, Ren looked even younger, barely more than a boy, really, with dark hair and eyes the same storm gray as Tristan's. He wore the crown like it weighed 1,000 pounds. The guards immediately dropped to one knee. "Your Majesty, leave us," Ren said quietly. "But Your Majesty, the prisoners..." "I said leave us." There was steel beneath the soft words, a note of command that made the guards exchange uncertain glances. But they obeyed, filing out and closing the door behind them. Kira waited for Ren to call them back, to summon more guards, to finish what Amran had started. Instead, he locked the door. "Amran said you might return eventually, Uncle," Ren said, his voice carrying a strange mix of relief and resignation. "But he didn't think you'd survive the crossing." Kira moved instinctively, positioning herself in front of Tristan's kneeling form. If this boy king wanted to kill them, he'd have to go through her first. "Ren," Tristan managed through gritted teeth, his voice thick with pain and something that might have been hope. "You're alive. Barely." Ren's gaze flickered to the scattered documents on the floor, then back to his uncle. "Amran has people watching my every move, controlling who I see, what I say. He's had mages binding my will since I was 13. "Then help us," Kira said urgently. "If you know what he's done..." "Where is he now?" Tristan interrupted, trying to push himself upright and failing. Ren's expression went grim. "Coming here. He knows you're in the palace. He can feel the curse fighting you." He moved to the window, looking out over the ballroom below. "He'll be here any moment, and when he arrives, he'll kill you both and make it look like you attacked me." "Then we fight," Kira said. "You can't." Ren turned back to them, and she saw tears in his eyes. "Look at him. The curse is killing him just by being here, and Amran has half the palace guard in his pocket." His voice cracked. "I'm sorry, but you walked into a trap, and I don't know how to get you out." Footsteps echoed in the hallway, heavy, measured, coming closer. Tristan's hand found Kira's, squeezed once. His palm was slick with blood and sweat as he positioned his body between her and the door, despite the way his legs trembled.
Stay behind me, love.
The door burst open, and Chancellor Amryn stepped through, flanked by a dozen armed men. His cold gaze swept the room, taking in the scattered documents, the blood on the floor, Tristan barely upright and shielding Kira with his failing body. A thin smile crossed his face.
How touching, he said.
A family reunion. Amryn stepped fully into the study, his elite guards fanning out behind him like wolves scenting blood. He gestured lazily toward Tristan.
Every breath in this city is agony, isn't it? The curse may not be strong enough to kill you anymore, but it's strong enough to cripple you. You can barely stand.
It was true. Tristan was leaning heavily against the desk. His breathing came in ragged gasps, and sweat poured down his face despite the cool night air.
And you?
Amryn's attention shifted to Kira with naked contempt.
Human trash, playing at heroics. You should have stayed in whatever gutter spawned you. At least there you might have lived another year or two in obscurity.
Tristan's head snapped up, and despite the agony etched into every line of his face, pure fury blazed in his eyes. He lunged, but the curse had already weakened him too much. His movements were sluggish, telegraphed. Amryn simply stepped aside, and Tristan crashed into the wall, barely catching himself before he went down. Amryn laughed, a cold, brittle sound.
Pathetic.
The great Tristan, brought low by a slip of magic and his own bleeding heart. He gestured to his guards.
Kill the woman first. Let Tristan watch.
Then we'll see how much fight he has left in him. The guards advanced, swords raised. Kira raised Kai's knife, the bone handle warm against her palm. It felt impossibly small against trained soldiers, but she'd be damned if she went down without a fight. Tristan tried to move, tried to put himself between her and the blades, but the curse seized him. He cried out, a raw, broken sound, and dropped to one knee, both hands pressed to his chest.
Stay back, Kira warned, brandishing the knife.
Or what?
Amryn's smile widened. You'll fight all of them? A human woman with a kitchen knife against 6 trained soldiers? Please, enlighten me how this ends in your favor.
No, Kira said quietly, but I'll fight you. She moved before anyone could react, before the guards could close ranks. She darted forward with the speed of someone who'd spent years learning to move fast or suffer for it. The knife aimed straight for Amryn's throat. He caught her wrist at the last second, twisting until pain lanced up her arm.
Foolish girl.
Kira dropped her weight, using his grip against him, and drove her knee into his stomach. He grunted, his hold loosening just enough for her to wrench free and slash across his forearm. Blood bloomed through expensive silk. Amryn's eyes went cold.
My father taught me something before he died, Kira said, circling him. Sometimes the only justice is what you take yourself.
They moved together in a deadly dance. Amryn stronger, trained in formal combat, but Kira faster, scrappier, fighting like someone with nothing left to lose. She ducked under his reaching hands, drove the blade toward his ribs. He blocked with his forearm, hissing as the knife bit deep. Then Tristan was there. The curse was tearing him apart, but he was fighting anyway, catching one guard's sword with his bare hand and not even flinching when the blade bit into his palm. He used the guard's momentum to send him crashing into 2 others, then spun and caught another by the throat. The casual display of strength, even weakened, made the remaining guards take a step back.
You forgot, Tristan rasped, his voice barely human. I was trained by the Royal Guard. All of you were trained by me.
Kira and Tristan fought back to back now, her knife flashing while he used his bare hands and whatever weapons he could tear from the guard's grips. They moved together, each covering the other's blind spots, anticipating each other's movements. But there were still too many. and Tristan was fading fast. Amran saw it too. He backed away from Kira, pulling something from his coat, a small crystal vial filled with liquid the color of old blood. Ren's voice cut through the chaos. Don't. Shut up. Amran's smile was vicious. You want to see what real power looks like, little Ren? Watch. He uncorked the vial. Blood magic anchor. One drop, and the exile curse returns to full strength. His gaze locked on Tristan. Your wolf dies. You die. And this time, there's no coming back. Nokira started toward him, but guards grabbed her, hauling her back. Ren stepped forward, his young face twisted with anguish. Please, Chancellor, there has to be another way. There isn't. Amran raised the vial to his lips. Some loose ends need cutting. He drank. Tristan's scream tore through the room. He collapsed, body convulsing as the curse surged back to full strength. His wolf tried to surface instinctively, tried to fight the binding, but the magic was wrapped around it like barbed wire. Every shift made it worse, the curse tightening, cutting, shredding. Kira wrenched free from the guards and dropped beside him, catching his thrashing body in her arms. No, 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 Tristan, stay with me. His eyes found hers, amber and agonized. He tried to speak, but only blood came out. Amran was laughing. How does it feel, knowing you failed, that after everything you'll die here while I... You forgot something. Ren's voice had changed. The uncertainty, the boyish hesitation, it was gone. He stood straighter, and power rolled off him in waves that made the air vibrate. I've been waiting a long time for you to make a mistake. Just one. Amran's smile faltered. What are you... The binding spells you placed on me, Ren said calmly, and his eyes began to glow with golden light. They prevented me from speaking against you, from acting against your interests in any way. He took a step forward, but they had one flaw. The Chancellor's face went pale. Ren, the bindings only work if I'm the one who initiates the attack. Ren's smile was cold and sharp now. But you just tried to murder a member of the royal bloodline right in front of me. Another step. That's not me attacking you, Chancellor. That's me defending my family. The bindings don't apply. You can't. I control you. You controlled a terrified child who watched his parents burn. Ren's hands began to glow with golden light. I'm 18 now. I'm Myron's son, and his magic passed to me when he died. Every ounce of royal power, every bloodline gift. I've been waiting for you to give me one opening. He dropped to his knees beside Tristan, placing both glowing hands on his uncle's chest. You just did. Ren's power crashed into the curse like a battering ram. The room exploded with light. Gold and sickly green colliding, twisting around each other in a battle that made the walls shake. The curse was blood magic, fueled by pain and sacrifice, anchored to Tristan's wolf through dark rituals. But royal magic was different. It was bound to the land itself, to the very stones of the kingdom, to the unbroken line of kings stretching back centuries. And Ren was pouring all of it into breaking the binding. Kira watched as golden light flooded through Tristan's body, chasing the curse through his veins like fire burning away poison. The sickly green magic fought back, tightening, trying to tear his wolf apart before it could be expelled. Tristan convulsed in her arms, screaming, and she held him tighter, willing her own strength into him. Hold on, she whispered against his hair. Please, just hold on. The curse shattered. The sound was like glass breaking underwater, a muffled crack followed by a rush of pressure. Green light exploded outward in a shock wave that sent everyone staggering. Then it was gone, dissolved like smoke, leaving nothing behind but the golden glow of royal magic slowly fading from Tristan's skin. The backlash hit Amran like a physical blow. He staggered backward, eyes going wide with shock and pain. The vial fell from his hand, shattering on the floor. Blood poured from his nose, his ears. The magic he'd drunk, meant to reinforce the curse, had nowhere to go when the curse broke. So it turned inward, eating through him like acid. He collapsed to his knees, gasping. Ren moved to the door and opened it. Guards stood outside, but these wore different insignia. "Take the former chancellor into custody," Ren ordered, voice ringing with newfound authority. "Charges are high treason, regicide, conspiracy to commit murder, and use of forbidden blood magic." The guards, Ren's guards, Kira realized, ones he'd been cultivating in secret, moved immediately. They hauled Amran to his feet, clapping him in chains. Amran's face had gone gray, blood still trickling from his nose, but he managed a bitter laugh. "You think this changes anything? Half the nobility backed my plays. They'll tear you apart the moment they realize you're actually trying to rule." "Let them try," Ren said simply. Then he turned his back, dismissing the man who'd controlled him like he was nothing more than a troublesome servant. The doors closed. Tristan stirred in Kira's arms, and she looked down to find his eyes open. Clear. The amber had faded back to storm gray, and for the first time since they'd entered the capital, there was no pain etched into his features. "The curse," he rasped. "It's gone," Ren confirmed, moving to kneel beside them. "I can feel it. You're free." Tristan lifted one shaking hand to his chest, pressing where the curse had been tightest. "I can breathe," he said, wonder in his voice. Then his eyes rolled back and he went limp. Tristan Kira caught him before he could hit the floor, her heart slamming into her throat. Ren stood quickly, already moving into command. "Guards, get a stretcher. The royal physician is to attend him immediately." "I'm coming with him," Kira said. Ren's expression softened. "I wouldn't dream of separating you." The royal infirmary was nothing like the rough field medicine Kira had learned. Everything was clean, organized. Healers moved with calm precision, cleaning wounds, checking vital signs. They'd given Tristan a private room overlooking the palace gardens, installed him in a bed with clean sheets. Hours passed. Kira sat in the chair beside his bed, her hand wrapped around his, watching the steady rise and fall of his chest like it was the only thing keeping her tethered to the world. Kai slipped in sometime after midnight, carrying two mugs of something hot. He pressed one into her free hand without comment, then dragged a second chair over and sat. He leaned forward, studying Tristan's face. "You know, for someone who looks like they got trampled by a herd of angry horses, he's still annoyingly handsome. That seems unfair." "Kai, I'm just saying, the universe has favorites." He was quiet for a moment, then added more softly, "He's going to wake up, Kira. I've seen dying. This isn't it." She squeezed Tristan's hand tighter. "How can you be sure?" "Because he's too stubborn to die before he tells you he loves you properly. But mostly because his fingers twitched when you touched him." Kira looked down. He was right. Tristan's fingers had curled slightly around hers. Kai stood, stretched. "All right, I'm going to try something. If it doesn't work, we never speak of it again." The boy leaned over the bed and said, very seriously, directly into Tristan's ear, "Kira's about to sell you to pay off a gambling debt. Nothing. She's considering becoming a nun. Still nothing. She thinks your brother Myron was the handsome one." Tristan's eye cracked open. "Lies," he mumbled. "Myron couldn't grow a beard to save his life." Kai pumped his fist in victory. Knew that would work. Kira was already leaning forward, tears blurring her vision. "You're awake." Tristan's gaze found hers, and even exhausted, his eyes were warm. You stayed. Where else would I be? Somewhere safer. Smarter. Far away from the man who almost got you killed. But his hand tightened around hers even as he said it.
I'll just go be literally anywhere else, Kai announced, already backing toward the door. Try not to be too sappy.
The door closed behind him. Kira brushed the hair back from Tristan's forehead, her hand trembling.
The curse is gone. Ren broke it.
You're free. I know. I can feel it. He took a careful breath, like he was testing new lungs. Doesn't hurt anymore. First time in a year I can breathe without feeling like something's trying to claw its way out of my chest. You scared me. Her voice cracked. When Amryn triggered the curse, when you went down... Come here.
He tugged gently on her hand. She hesitated.
You're injured. I'm not asking you to dance. Kira climbed carefully onto the bed, settling against his side with her head on his shoulder. His arm came around her immediately, holding her close.
Much better, he murmured against her hair.
They lay there in silence for a while, just breathing together. Then Tristan spoke, quiet and serious.
I need to tell you something. Something I should have said earlier, but I was trying very hard to be noble about it.
He shifted so he could see her face. Her heart stuttered.
Tristan,
let me say this before I lose my nerve. His thumb traced her cheekbone, and his eyes were softer than she'd ever seen them. When I saw you on that platform, when you looked at me like I was worth saving, I felt something I've never felt before. Not in my whole life.
What did you feel?
Like I'd been searching for something without knowing it. And suddenly, there you were.
He took a careful breath.
Shifters have a word for it. A bond that happens sometimes, when two people are meant to find each other. It's rare. I never thought...
He stopped, searching her face.
I've been trying so damn hard not to tell you, because you deserve better than a fugitive with a death sentence hanging over his head.
Kira's throat tightened.
You were holding back.
I was terrified, he admitted.
You'd already been forced into enough. The last thing you needed was me telling you we're bonded.
His voice dropped.
Even if it killed me to keep my distance.
She kissed him instead of answering.
Slow and deep and certain.
When they broke apart, she said simply,
I chose you at the auction. I chose you when I could have run. I've been choosing you every day since.
Her fingers traced the line of his jaw.
So if this bond means what I think it means you're mine, and I'm yours, completely.
If you want it.
I want it.
She kissed him again, slower this time.
I want you.
His arms tightened around her.
Thank the gods, because I was running out of noble restraint.
She laughed against his mouth.
How much restraint are we talking?
None. Absolutely none left.
He rolled them carefully so she was beneath him, mindful of his injuries but not willing to let her go.
Fair warning. I'm about to be very improper for a man who's supposed to be recovering. The healers said you need rest.
The healers, he murmured, kissing her throat, can wait 5 minutes.
5 minutes? That's all the time you need?
He pulled back to look at her, eyes dancing.
Are you challenging my stamina?
I'm challenging your math. 5 minutes seems optimistic for someone who could barely stand an hour ago.
You're right. Better make it 10.
His mouth found hers again, and this kiss was different. Deeper, hungrier, full of promise and want. When he shifted back briefly, Kira touched his face and said what had been building in her chest.
I love you.
His smile could have lit the darkest corner of the world.
I love you too.
Since the auction block, probably.
Definitely since you threatened to let me bleed out in your workshop if I didn't sit down.
That was peak romance. You have terrible taste in romantic moments. I have terrible taste in men, apparently. Bought one at an auction.
Best investment you ever made, he said, and kissed her again before she could argue.
The workshop was bigger than anything Kira had dared to dream. High ceilings with skylights that let in perfect natural light, sturdy benches arranged in neat rows, tools hanging on the walls, a small fortune in leather and supplies stacked in organized chaos along one wall, and in the corner, sprawled across a workbench with his feet kicked up on a pile of expensive hide, was Kai.
Remember when we couldn't afford meat more than once a week? He said, tossing a piece of honeyed bread into his mouth. Look at us now, living in luxury, all because you couldn't mind your business at an auction.
Kira threw a leather scrap at him.
You're getting crumbs on my tools.
Our tools, Kai corrected, sitting up with an injured expression.
I'm the official apprentice now. I have a title and everything. Show some respect.
I'll show you respect when you learn to put things back where they belong.
That's what tomorrow Kai is for.
Today, Kai is busy basking in his success.
Kira couldn't help but smile.
In the months since Amran's arrest, Kai had shot up like a weed and filled out, no longer the half-starved runt who'd slept in doorways. He wore good clothes now, ate 3 meals a day, and had the confidence of a boy who'd helped take down a corrupt chancellor. The workshop door opened, and Tristan stepped inside. Kai immediately hopped off the workbench.
Well, I'm going to the market. I'll be gone for several hours. Try not to break any furniture.
He grabbed his coat, then paused at the door to look back at Kira.
Seriously, though.
Several hours. Take your time. He was gone before Kira could throw anything else at him.
Tristan crossed to her, and she felt the now familiar pull of the mate bond, warm and steady, a constant awareness of him that she'd learned to treasure. He'd been at the palace all morning, advising Ren through some trade dispute. Now he was here, in her space, looking at her like she was the best thing he'd seen all day.
How's Ren? She asked.
Learning. Stubborn about it, but learning.
Tristan pulled her close, his hands settling on her waist.
He sends his regards.
Also, a rather expensive bottle of wine that he insists we're supposed to drink at dinner tonight.
We don't have dinner plans.
We do now.
Apparently, the council wants to thank you formally for saving the kingdom.
His nose wrinkled.
I told them you'd hate that.
I would.
She leaned into him, breathing in his scent.
Can we skip it?
Absolutely not. Ren would hunt us down.
But his arms tightened around her.
Though I could be persuaded to be late.
Tristan, I have something for you first.
He pulled back, reaching into his coat.
Close your eyes.
Why?
Because I ask nicely?
She closed her eyes, heard the rustle of paper. Then his hands found hers, pressing something into her palms. It was a document, official, sealed with the royal crest.
Kira's hands shook as she read it.
By order of King Ren, all debts attributed to Kira's family are hereby cleared and nullified. All records of servitude are expunged. She is recognized as a free citizen of the realm.
Her voice broke.
Tristan, this is...
You gave me my life back, he said quietly, cupping her face in his hands. I wanted to return the favor.
The tears came then hot and fast.
I don't know what to say.
You don't have to say anything.
He kissed her forehead, her cheeks, chasing the tears.
Just accept it.
Accept that you're free, that you're valued, that you're...
His voice roughened.
That you're loved.
I love you too, she managed.
Good.
He pulled back just enough to meet her eyes, and she saw everything there, devotion and desire and bone-deep certainty.
Because I have one more question.
He dropped to one knee.
Kira's heart stopped.
I know this probably seems too fast, but Kira...
He caught her hands.
You gave me hope when I had none, a future when I'd accepted I'd die in chains. Get to the question, she said, laughing through her tears.
So? He said, eyes dancing. Are you going to make an honest man of me?
Or do I have to let you buy me again at the next auction?
Kira yanked him to his feet and kissed him hard.
You're already mine, she said against his mouth. Is that a yes?
That's an absolutely, definitely, completely yes.
He swept her up, spinning her until she shrieked with laughter. When he set her down, they were both grinning like fools, and the future stretched before them bright and boundless.
Can you rate this from 1 to 10?
If you enjoyed this, I have lots more exclusive stories that I've never shared here. Link in my pinned comment. Thank you.